What is going on, Panthers Nation? Carolina Dad here, your host of the Two Growls, One Roar podcast. Hey, folks, we are here with our post-draft analysis, rapid, quick reaction, whatever you want to call it, breakdown of the Carolina Panthers 2024 draft class. Now, before we get started, we should go out here and look at what fans rated this draft class. So we're going to go out to the Twitter poll that I posted. It's only been out there for a few hours. But hey, I think it's close enough for us to go ahead and take a look. We've got 80 votes on it. So let me share my screen and we can take a look here in just a second. While I do that, I would love to know what you would rate this draft class. A, B, C, D. You can even throw up an F if you feel like it. Whatever floats your boat. Let's pull this up and take a look here. Okay, folks, how would you rate the Panthers draft class? Again, this is exposed to everyone on X, so it could be Panthers fans, could be non-Panthers fans. We don't know. But 80 votes in, 2 hours into the poll, looks like a solid B. Across the board is the highest ranking at 67.5% of the vote. A, 18.8%. C at 13.8%. And no D's. As of right now, no D's on the board. That's 0%. I guess you could say no D's or F's. We have delusional App State fan. Shout out to App State. He says a solid B. While I like what we got, I like we got a second round for next year. I think not drafting DeJean was a mistake. He should not have been available at 39. And that's in reference to the cornerback out of Iowa State. So there you have it, folks. Now, I guess you should say, what is my grade? I do think a solid B as well. I'm right there with y'all. Think, you know, if this class turns into something special, we're getting closer to the A range, but I think solid B, like we addressed a lot of needs. I know some folks are probably upset that we did not draft a center, that we did not bring in an edge off the board. I know a lot of things are happening with undrafted free agents right now. We're going to see all those signings trickling in, as we have 13 guys at least. I say at least, that'll get us to 90, but we know this roster is going to be very fluid over the next really few months until we get into training camp. And even then, you're going to see lots of transactions happening across the board. Let me hop back over and we're going to go out to ESPN.com, which is what I use for some of my other breakdowns. I will have individual videos of each player coming out. But for today, I said, you know what? Let me at least get you kind of a, like I said, rapid reaction of the 2024 NFL draft class for the Carolina Panthers. If you followed the live stream, you've probably already seen some of this. But hey, why not go ahead and take a look here? So high level, what was addressed? We drafted a wide receiver, Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina with pick 32. Jonathan Brooks in the second round, running back out of Texas. We're going to get into each of these players in a second. Trevin Wallace, linebacker out of Kentucky with pick 8 in the third round. Jatavion Saunders, tight end out of Texas. Two Texas boys on the roster. Charles Smith Wade, cornerback out of Washington State. Jaden Crumdy or Crumdy out of Mississippi State, defensive tackle, and Michael Barrett, linebacker out of Michigan, another linebacker off the board. I talked about the need to get linebackers, and that's what we saw. Let's go ahead. Let's jump in. Now, you can see on the list here the needs of the Panthers team, and I think this was a consensus among writers, reporters, among everyone that followed the team. They would have said, hey, we need a wide receiver, we need an edge, we need a center, a cornerback, a running back. I personally thought inside linebacker. I don't know how inside linebacker is not on the needs list. The Panthers needed a linebacker. That was not on here. Tight end, not on the list as well as far as what they have displayed here. And you probably can make a case for interior defensive line. But the list is there. And Panthers, according to ESPN.com, as far as needs that were addressed, wide receiver, cornerback, and running back were taken off the board. But let's dive into the picks. Let's look at the players and break those down for you right now. Panthers, hey, if y'all follow the journey, you know the show. I fell asleep. Turns out I ended up being sick that night. So it makes a lot of sense why I went to bed early and couldn't stay up. But I go to sleep, wake up in the middle of the night, find out that the Panthers traded back into the first round for Xavier Leggett. Again, I'll say both pronunciations because he did say that it is Leggett, but everyone calls him Leggett. I don't know if he's trolling or not. Panthers trade in to the first round, do a swap with Buffalo. Fans were initially confused, like, why are we doing this? And turns out it was all to recoup or have the ability to have that fifth-year option for Leggett as we get into there. And that's a great decision from the front office to have that fifth-year option available or being able to pick that up for Xavier. So pre-draft analysis, his position rank was fifth, overall rank 28th, grade was an 89, 6'1", 221 pounds out of South Carolina. Leggett weighed 221, ran a 4.39 40 at the combine, has a unique blend of size and speed, averaged 17.7 yards per catch in 23, also a threat to top off the coverage. Leggett also tracks the ball well, has outstanding ball control and high point jump balls. He's built like a power back, but catches passes in stride and is a powerful open field runner with good instincts after the catch and in the return game. So I think you get a wide receiver, impact wide receiver, as well as someone that can help with the return. And we know the updates to the kickoff rules. It's funny, his pro comp is Jonathan Mingo, which I do not agree with. I think they are two totally different players. Post-draft analysis, there wasn't a prospect that the Panthers showed more interest in during the pre-draft process than Leggett. That's so true, man. I mean, I think they met with him four or five times, according to some of the interviews. We heard Leggett come out and say that the Panthers, if he was available at 33, were going to take him. And then you have Dave Canales going on the podium and say, oh, I told that to every guy. That's how I lead in. Sure enough, that was the case, and the Panthers did draft him. But in need of an outside threat for Bryce Young, Leggett is an explosive yards after catch threat that can turn shorter routes into bigger gains. Leggett could consume the Chris Godwin role in Dave Canales' offense. I firmly believe that. Last season, Leggett had 10 receptions on passes down the field of at least 30 yards, tied for second in FBS. Overall value, it was perfect range. Carolina watched as two receivers got drafted late in the first and traded back into the first to land the top available receiver and 28th overall player on the board. I agree. This move makes total sense. I know there's going to be some skeptics that wanted A.D. Mitchell, who, you know, fell off a little bit, Keon Coleman, whoever it is, another Ladd McConkey, all those big name receivers, but XL was the pick, or X-Men, or X-Men, whatever they're calling it now, call them XL for a little bit. Smart move here by the Panthers. I know he's got some things to clean up, but when you talk about a player that can get the ball in the open field, make a play, catch and run, get yards after catch, put his pads down and run and pick up more yards, that's what this team needed. And I do think he's going to compete for that outside role. So I still think Johnson's the X, which means I think he's going to be competing for the Z. You may have Jonathan Mingo behind him or Mingo more in the slot. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a fun camp, fun training camp to see who emerges. How does the depth chart shake out? All those fun things that we like to talk about. But as far as this pick, I mean, I've been a homer since day one, so it is an A for me. No doubt about it. Next up, so Panthers move into day two, start to, you know, make some transactions like we expected. So they trade back from 39. I know some folks are probably very upset because there's a lot of cornerbacks available. There were centers still on the board, a lot of playmakers, and people were like, oh, we gotta, you know, get one of those guys that were there. All along during this process, I kept telling folks, like, hey, you keep saying that we need a center, but I've been listening to the pressers. There is a lot of faith in Austin Corbett. We also know that Brady Christensen now is also taking backup snaps at center. The faith is there in the guys on the roster. And I said if the team is going to put their chips in and gamble, like they would have to pick something. You're not going to address every need. Sure enough, center and edge were the two places on this roster that I talked about that said, hey, they may come into this and feel comfortable. When they look at the edge position with DJ, with Clowney, with some of the guys that are now behind them, they may say, you know what, we feel good about what's there. This is not our year to draft an edge. This is not our year to draft a center. Let's see what we have on the board. And that's exactly what happened. So I personally am okay with it. As I talk through it, I know there's going to be some fans that are upset. But here we go. Jonathan Brooks, taken in the second round. Pre-draft analysis. So Brooks, again, this was with pick 14. Brooks broke out in 23 after being buried behind Bijan Robinson and Roscon Johnson on the depth chart during his first two seasons at Texas. He runs with great vision, patience, and balance between the tackles. He's quick through the hole and fast enough to rip off long runs when he gets a seam. Brooks runs hard and has the contact balance to break tackles. He's also willing to square up in pass protection, and he's a great pass catcher and a threat after the catch. Hey, we saw some of the running backs on this roster last year in pass pro, and it wasn't great. He did suffer a torn ACL late in 23, but should be ready for NFL training camp. He's arguably the best tape or has the best tape as far as the running back class. And I think he is the best running back in this class. ACL aside, if this guy can get healthy, I do think he's going to be up there with Chuba Hubbard competing for RB1. Pass catching back that can make plays in the pass game. And I've looked at his film. You can go out and watch it as well. He catches the ball, makes plays, gets open, runs after the catch. And Dave Canales loves to have a running back that can do that. His pro comp is Aaron Jones. So post-draft analysis, the buzz all season was the Panthers were doing a ton of work on the running back class despite having Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders. Now they put that work to good use and select the top-rated back in the class. Brooks may have the start, may have started the season delayed due to ACL injury, but once healthy, has the tools to be the best back on the roster and a true three-down threat. I agree. I've seen him lower his shoulders, running behind the pads, running through the middle. He's a very big, explosive back that, like we say it here, when healthy, he will be challenging a lot of guys on the roster. And Dave Canales loves to talk about being able to challenge guys on the roster. If you're worried about the running back room, that's another one that now, hey, something's going to happen. So you have Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders, Raheem Blackshear, who's like returner, and now you throw in Brooks. That's four. Panthers are likely not going to carry four backs. Hard to imagine they do. You're now talking about three guys on the roster. So who's going to get cut? Is Miles going to get traded? We heard that Dan Morgan said he loves Miles Sanders. They love him when asked about this in the presser. I don't know. I don't know what the trade value is because of everything that happened last year, but there may be a team that gets desperate and he gets moved. That is something I'm going to keep my eyes on this entire offseason now that, you know, the dust has settled. We do have a little bit of breathing room here because Brooks is going to take a little bit longer to get back. All right, Trevin Wallace, linebacker out of Kentucky. Now, you know, I know, we know my guy here was Peyton Wilson, even Cedric Gray. We found out that Peyton Wilson does not have one of his ACLs, and I think that's part of the reason that his stock dropped and why the Panthers did not take him here, even though it made a ton of sense. I think there was just some question marks, like would he be able to make it through his first contract or be on his first contract? At least that's what I've been reading. But the pick is Trevin Wallace, linebacker out of Kentucky. So the eighth overall pick in the third round. It's funny, the first three picks in this draft, the Panthers did not stay and moved to make their selection. 6'1", 237, position ranked fifth, overall ranked 95, grade 72. So a little bit of a reach if you're, you know, basing it off of numbers. Pre-draft analysis. Wallace tied for the fourth fastest 40-yard dash out of linebackers. Flashes speed on tape. He closes well in pursuit and chasing the quarterback. And I saw that yesterday when I watched this film. Absolutely able to get after the quarterback. He is your Frankie Louvu in waiting. I'm not saying he's going to be that player because you got to get him on the field first. But that's who I see when I watch some of his tape. Shows the ability to read the quarterback and pluck the ball out of the air and underneath coverage too. He can stay in phase, turning and running with the tight ends, and is strong enough to hold his ground when teams run at him. He has good strength. He wraps up and drags ball carriers to the ground. Better not hit hip drop tackle. Post-draft analysis. After promoting former linebacker Dan Morgan to the role of GM, we should have expected Panthers to add a linebacker early in the draft, despite the team adding Josie Jewell in free agency. Wallace has the speed and agility to run sideline to sideline, make plays in the run and pass game. Given his playmaking traits, Wallace is a likely weak side linebacker who can also stack inside when the Panthers are in their base 3-4 defense. Absolutely. Like I said, off-ball linebacker, blitzes, getting to the quarterback, making plays in the backfield. That is what we want out of this pick. And after watching this tape, man, this dude does lay the wood. He talks about wanting to lay the wood on people, injure them, hopefully not truly injure them, but, like, he's going to be a ball hog, man. And I'm excited to have him here in Carolina and learn more and more about him as the Panthers bring him in and get familiar with our system here. All right, folks, so I did all those. Those are pretty easy because I already talked about those in my initial breakdown yesterday. We're going to look at the new picks. So Jatavion Sanders out of the University of Texas, tight end. Panthers sit on their pick here, first pick in the fourth round, and get a pass-catching, playmaking tight end for their rookie quarterback, with their second-year quarterback in Bryce Young. Absolutely a fan of this. I had Sanders on a few mocks. I think the fact that he fell to the fourth round, it made complete sense as he was the best available player. There were still conversations of like, hey, are we going to draft a cornerback? Are we going to look here? Are we going to look there with the centers that were still on the board in the fourth round? Because there still were a lot of guys available. Panthers said, nope, we got our guy. Even some receivers were still there. Pre-draft analysis. Sanders has the burst to separate from linebackers and the size to win 50-50 balls working against defensive backs. He is a big target who can work against zone coverage looks. He's a natural hands catcher with big hands and the body control to adjust the passes thrown outside of his frame. Sanders makes one-handed grabs. I even saw that in his high school tape, and makes plays in traffic. He's quick and can break tackles after the catch. He tracks the ball well and has the speed to make plays down the seam. A pass-catching tight end that can challenge Tommy Tremble for tight end one. And we've been looking for a pass-catching tight end, and I think Tommy can still be that. He still should be tight end one on the roster today, but this will challenge Ian Thomas. The only downside right now to Sanders in his game is his blocking ability, and especially blocking at the line of scrimmage or being, you know, lined up on the line and blocking, which gives you kind of the idea that possibly Ian Thomas could still be here primarily for that role. But I'm a big fan of this. I like with these, you know, first group of picks, you get a running back, you get a receiver, and you get a tight end, all rookies that can develop and grow alongside Bryce Young and a lot of playmakers. And again, another Texas Longhorn. This was great. He was the second rated tight end, I think, amongst a lot of draft boards, not just ESPN, right behind Brock Bowers. 64 overall rank. You get him all the way in the fourth round. That's a steal, and graded out as an 80. So I love this. Absolutely do. Moving down the list, we have cornerback Chow Smith Wade out of Washington State, who showed a lot in the Senior Bowl. And I think that was really the flashes that we saw there. And it's funny they talk about it here. Smith Wade is quicker than he is fast, and he plays with good balance matching up underneath. He reads the quarterback and sorts out route combination and zone coverage looks. He's not a ball hawk or playmaker. He didn't have any interceptions, and he's on the smaller side with shorter arms. But his timing and toughness make him competitive at the catch point. Smith Wade tracked the ball well, made an impressive over-the-shoulder catch interception in the Senior Bowl. Position rank was 30, and like we're in the fifth round now, and you're talking about overall rank 227, according to ESPN.com. But if the Panthers felt like this was the guy that they wanted to bring in to add depth to the cornerback position, hey, I'm all for it. When you start getting into fifth, sixth, seventh rounds, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a toss-up, but at least from a fan's perspective of like, are these guys going to make it? Are they going to be impact players? It is a toss-up. But you just hope that the scouting departments and the team – front office knows their picks, because if you start hitting on day three guys, which is what you have to do, you have to hit on these day three picks to really start elevating your team and your roster for the future. We've seen that, you know, success with a lot of teams and being able to do that. I still think you're going to have Stephon Gilmore possibly coming in and being signed by the Panthers, but at least for today, they get their cornerback. I know there's going to be some undrafted guys that are also being talked about and brought in. Next on the list, we have Jaden Cromedy out of Mississippi State. All the happening here, insane. His pick was from Dallas through Houston and Buffalo. It's a wild, wild trade. You have Jaden Cromedy, defensive tackle out of Mississippi State, 6'4", 301 pounds, position ranked 20th, overall ranked 204. It's funny, like if you compare these He's actually a little bit higher rated, or was higher rated, than Smith Wade, and he was drafted later. Grade overall grade 51. But Cromedy is a versatile defensive lineman with size, length, and strength to set the edge when the lines up, when he lines up over offensive tackles in a three-man front, and to hold his own when he lines up on the inside in four-man fronts, which we're in a three-man front here. He flashes the ability to get off the box and make plays when teams run at him. Cromedy has upside as an interior pass rusher. He shows good lateral mobility and balances on stunts. Like it. We need some depth on the defensive line. It's one of the things, we didn't really have a big rotation last year, so I like being able to bring on a little bit more depth. Again, you got A'shaun Robinson, Tuttle, we know Derek Brown. Being able to give those guys a little bit of a breather, whoever it is, and having someone underneath to develop. Again, I don't know if this guy's going to develop in anything. I will say I watched one highlight of him playing at NC State, and I don't know, it had to be a regular season game. And it was back when Chandler Zavala and Icky were there, and he blew up that right side where both of those guys were. I will say, whatever the protection call was off, because he was lined outside of Icky, and it looks like the Panthers pass pro. Rushes off the edge. Icky doesn't even, like, step out to get him. Has to have the running back pick him up, and he destroys the quarterback because the running back couldn't do it. I'm like, oh, yeah, it looks like the Carolina Panthers pass pro protection plan there. So Jaden Cromedy, say that right. And your last, folks, Michael Barrett, linebacker. Michigan was your seventh-round selection. 5'11", 233. 16th, again, this is a steal as well. You're talking about overall rank 206, 16th ranked linebacker. Barrett finished his career with the most games played in program history. That's wild, 64. He's on the smaller side and can get engulfed at times, but he has good snap in his hips and hands when he plays downhill. His low center of gravity makes it tougher for blockers to get under him. Barrett chases with excellent effort, flashes good stopping power, and forced three fumbles last season. He can carry tight ends down the seam and get to the flat, matching up with backs and coverage. There you go. Likely special teams contributor as well. When you get very late in these sixth, seventh round guys, that's what you're going to be looking for, guys that try to compete to make the roster, whether it's special teams, whatever they can do to get on the field and then work their way up, or hopefully eventually seeing game time film. So that's your final analysis, your breakdown of all your picks for the Carolina Panthers. Let's go back very quickly. Sorry, I'm having to expand these if you are watching the video. So, yeah, I do agree with the overall ranking here for the draft class. I would give it a B, absolutely a B in my mind. And I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with what the Panthers chose to do. Now, one thing, let's see if we can look this up for the Panthers really quickly. Let's look at the undrafted NFL.com, undrafted rookie free agent signings after 2024 NFL draft. We're going to go to NFL.com. All this stuff is fluid. Again, until you see the teams officially reporting this, like see here, there's a few transactions, but not many. So you do have quarterback Jake Plummer out of Louisville. I guess I'm going to have to go to a site that I really didn't want to go to, but that's okay. We're going to use Cat Scratch Reader, who is compiling the undrafted free agent class, and I'll share this tab here in just a second. Let's try this again. We'll go with this. And let's zoom in here a little bit so we can – oh, no. Tried. Sorry, folks, if you're watching. Didn't mean to. Let's take a look at the class. So these are your undrafted rookies right now. We have Jake Plummer, quarterback out of Louisville. Sam Pinckney, wide receiver out of Coastal Carolina. Taylor Upshaw, edge out of Arizona. Jalen Coker, wide receiver out of Holy Cross. Popo Omave, nose tackle out of Oregon. Willie Drew, cornerback, Virginia State. Derek McClendon, linebacker, Colorado. Andrew Rame, center. There's your center, folks. Came through undrafted out of Oklahoma. Solid pickup. I mean, in all honesty, like looking at some of these guys, definitely solid pickup. I think he was Big Ten, all Big Ten honors. Deshaun Gaddy, cornerback out of Ole Miss. Jeremiah Crawford, guard out of Tennessee. Damani Richardson, safety, Texas A&M. Devin Carter, wide receiver, West Virginia. Gosh, Texas Virginia. I was like, what is that? Jaden Sheridan, running back out of Monmouth. Jackson Mitchell, linebacker, UConn. Harrison Mevis, kicker, Missouri. Christian Duffy, O-line, Kansas State. Kenny Dyson, defensive end, Bryant. So, I mean, if this is true, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 guys. 17 undrafted free agents right now, which can't, like, that's just not going to be possible. I mean, you can carry over 90 leading up to this point. There's going to be, again, a lot of fluidity of this player's sign, this player's cut. I recommend following Panthers.com. Just go to the transactions page. That is the most reliable source directly from the Panthers that will tell you who was drafted or not drafted, tell you who was signed where, when, what, all available for you directly on there. So, all right, folks, that is it for the post-draft analysis breakdown. Let me know what you think about this draft class. That's all for today. It's Carolina Dad. Y'all have